I'm Marty Moscoe-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Today on the show, water. We'll be talking about the status of the crisis in Flint, Michigan, where elevated levels of lead were found in the water supply, and our guest pediatrician Mona Hanna-Attisha treated residents and was one of the whistleblowers. But first, water in Philadelphia. Earlier this month, a 48-inch water main burst near Juniper and Sansom Streets in Center City, sending some 15 million gallons of water gushing into the streets and into local businesses. The Philadelphia Water Commissioner, Deborah McCarty, joins us to discuss the city's water infrastructure and water quality. Deborah McCarty, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you so much.
We are going to spend most of the hour talking about Flint and the levels of lead in the water in Flint, which means we should start with the water quality here in Philadelphia. How would you describe the water quality?
I would describe it as excellent. Our employees work day in and day out to produce top quality water that meets all the regulations and goes above and beyond actually what we're required to do.
Do we have lead in our water in Philadelphia?
Not the water that we provide to our customers. The lead comes from the lead service lines and the lead solder in people's homes. We also, I should mention, treat with a chemical called zinc orthophosphate that forms a thin coat on the pipe to keep the water and the lead from coming into contact with each other and then thus the lead leaching into the drinking water.
We get our water from the Schuylkill, from the Delaware. Those are the two sources of water for Philadelphia.
Yes.
Just to make sure our listeners understand, so the main water supply that the city has to residents and to businesses, that is essentially without lead. But the question is from the street to the building. Is that where there might be lead?
Correct. None of our water mains are lead. It's the private water services, so the connections to our water mains, that are lead. And so that's, you know, your property connects to the water main. So that pipe that brings the water into your home, those are where we find lead services.
So if you test water in people's homes, you might find levels of lead.
You can. And we're happy to, we have a awesome website that guides people on how to determine if you even have lead. We have recently uploaded a video to walk folks through that. We'll come test if you've got concerns. We encourage people to be part of our lead and copper sampling program. We're always happy to visit your home and confirm whether you do or don't. But what I like to tell folks is no matter whether you have lead or not, when you wake up in the morning, turn the cold water on, run that line for a few minutes. Our water isn't that expensive, and you just get the freshest water, no matter whether you have a lead service line or not.
Those services that you provide, are those free to residents?
Yes.
They are. Okay. We have a tweet. Pennsylvania has many houses built in the late 19th and early 20th century. Philadelphia does as well. How much of that housing stock may have lead pipes? Let's focus on Philadelphia, which is where you work. There's a lot of old housing stock in Philadelphia. Does that make a difference?
Well, yes, that certainly is where you're going to find the lead service pipes as well as lead solder. Lead solder wasn't illegal until the, if I'm not mistaken, the 1980s. Right. So, you know, it's a problem no matter where. It can be throughout the city. We estimate, and it's difficult because we don't own the pipes, so we don't necessarily know where they are, but we estimate around 20,000 to 30,000 properties have lead services.
Oh, wow. Okay. So something that people, I guess if they live in an older or house around a certain generation, they should be more vigilant?
Yes. I mean, I would tell folks, always turn the cold water on and flush it.
Have kids been tested in Philadelphia for lead in their blood related to water supply?
I would prefer to defer to the health department regarding that. I'm not aware of any child being tested for high lead levels and it was attributed to water. In fact, the health department has told us there's never been a case that they've come across where a child has high lead levels and it's related to the drinking water. It's unfortunately more paint and soil, lead contaminated soils.
Let's talk about the water main break. This was a couple of weeks ago in Center City, Philadelphia. Caused some damage, some agita. What's the status? And does anyone know the cause at this point?
We don't know the cause. It was, as you mentioned, at Juniper and Sanson Street, July 3rd, around 4 in the morning. We're working with the utilities right now I think they pretty much isolated their utilities so we can then get in there. We've got a design group that is focusing on preparing bid documents so we can do an emergency bid to make the repairs. This is one of the more complicated intersections, I have to say, I've ever seen in terms of getting in there.
It's a busy part of Philadelphia.
With all the utilities.
Sure.
There's a lot underground in the city, and there's a whole lot packed in this tiny little intersection. So we're working very hard to expedite the design. We're also doing some preemptive work right now, preparatory work, if you will. So when we do bid the job and award it, the contractor can pretty much start as quickly as possible. There are small businesses along there, and a lot of folks' lives are disruptive. We want to get this done as quickly as possible and get life returning to normal as quickly as possible.
This pipe apparently was almost 100 years old. It was put in when Calvin Coolidge was president. Do I have that right?
1927, yes.
What does that tell us? I mean, does it say that a lot of the water mains in Philadelphia are that old?
The older I get, the more I like to say old isn't bad. But the average life of our water mains is about 70 years. So the average age, excuse me.
Average age.
Is 70 years. 1927, we would have been nice to get a few more years out of that pipe, quite honestly. At least that section of pipe. The larger mains, the transmission mains, are thicker walled. We will attempt to diagnose what caused the break. What I've seen in these large transmission mains, when we do, and we always do, have a consultant assist us in diagnosing what caused the break, it seems to be site-specific.
For some reason at that place, it was
right.
Vulnerable?
I mean, it could be something that someone laid a pipe 50 years ago on top of our pipe, and that just caused a differential load that eventually the pipe breaks.
There's something like 3,200 miles of water mains in Philadelphia. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
And something like 3,500 miles of sewer pipes in Philadelphia.
Yes.
That gives you, I think, gives listeners a feel about what's going on underneath the streets. Do they ever intersect, these two pipes?
Yeah, hope not.
I mean, you hope not, but do they?
No. I mean, you know, every now and again we might find a water main through the crown of the sewer, which is the top of the sewer. I think it's important to know that the water main is under pressure. So you're not going to get sewage leaking into the water main at all. But they cross over each other. I mean, this intersection at Juniper and Sanson, one of the challenges is the 48-inch main goes underneath the sewer. So it goes down and then comes back up, the sewer that's in Sanson Street. So there are plenty of challenges throughout the city, not just with the water and sewer. There's other utilities, of course, involved.
If you could tear up all the streets in Philadelphia and start all over again, how would you do it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have preference for the water and sewer, so I would say that all the other utilities should be out of our way. But, you know, that's a little selfish. So, and it's not realistic, honestly,
right,
either.
Right, because it's not going to happen.
Right.
But is the city, I mean, is the goal to eventually replace all the water main pipes in Philadelphia?
Well, yes. I mean, we want to stay on top of that. So we have, we're increasing over the next few years the miles of pipe that we're replacing. So this past fiscal year, we replaced around 28 miles of pipe. Our goal this fiscal year is 30 miles. By 2024, we're hoping to get to 42 miles of water main a year. So that's about, by then, should be around $73 million a year just on water main relays.
I'm trying to quickly do the math there, 40 into 3,200, and how long that would take then. Years. We're talking years.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this is a
but
constant.
We've been driving down the average age. So we're at 70 right now. We're also driving down the number of water main breaks. So we've seen in the 1980s, we had 350 breaks per 1,000 miles of pipe. And now we're down to 267 per 1,000 miles of pipe. So we're making progress.
It still seems like a lot of breaks.
Yes, but we're in line with other, we align favorably with other utilities our size. It's a challenge. It's old infrastructure. And we're balancing, you know, our rates. I mean, there's only so much that the ratepayers can tolerate in terms of increases in rates, too. Mm-hmm. So it's a balance.
Rates are going up, though, are they not? Or at least that's been the request.
Yes. Yes, they are. The rate board did rule, and yes, they are.
I'm curious. It's been, it seems like, I can't remember the last time I saw the sun, but nonetheless, it has been really rainy with almost that sort of tropical torrential rains that have come into this region in the last week or so. What kind of pressure does that put on the water department to manage all of that?
So the good news is our collection system is in good shape. And so it's pressure on the collection system, though. It increases our combined sewer overflows, which is dilute sewage and stormwater going to our waterways, unfortunately. But our wastewater treatment plants are robust and take as much wastewater flow as they can take during these times and continue to meet all the Clean Water Act requirements while they're doing that. But it is a challenge. High flows do present challenges.
You mentioned the Clean Water Act. There's also the Safe Drinking Water Act. Are they in any way under fire from the Trump administration, thinking about how environmental regulations have been under fire from the EPA?
It's definitely a concern. What I can tell you is that the regional administrator for Region 3, I think, is very smart and cares so much about the environment. Not that worried about those regulations being undermined.
Hmm. Philadelphia is the Green City Clean Water Campaign. That's an ongoing campaign. How's it going?
Yes, that's a several billion dollar program mandated by the Clean Water Act to reduce the volume of combined sewer overflows that enter into our waterways. So we are very proud to be a leader nationally. We're leading with green, so green stormwater infrastructure that keeps, when it rains, keeps the water from even getting into our sewers. And then if you can do that and let it soak in like it used to back before we paved Paradise, it won't need to get, you know, it won't get to a waterway with dilute sewage. So that is, we're a green-centric program built on our traditional infrastructure. So we're lining sewers. We're doing wonky engineering things, if you will. But it's the primary. We're leading with green, if you will.
We're almost up on our break here. We have to say goodbye to you. We'll be talking about Flint, Michigan, but a cautionary tale for cities like Philadelphia. What happened in Flint?
Oh, most certainly. I mean, we've been paying attention to that. I will tell you that could never happen here. That's not how we do business at all.
But it's a shocking story.
Oh my goodness, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
Well, Deborah McCarty, thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure.
A pleasure for us as well. She is Philadelphia's water commissioner. And as I mentioned, we'll be talking about Flint, Michigan, the water crisis there. Our guest is pediatrician Mona Hanna-Attisha. She treated residents, one of the whistleblowers. Stay with us. We'll be right back.